This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How the Bible Changes Us.
Number three, this is a big one. It activates my faith. It not only eliminates or eradicates my guilt, it activates my faith. And that is so important because it gives me confidence. You know what I've discovered today? Most people are not confident. Most people are not courageous. Most people are flat out scared to death. They're afraid to take risks. They're fear of failure. They're afraid of dying. They're filled with all kinds of fears. They're not walking confidently because they're not people of faith. Now, faith is word activated. The Bible says this, Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, if you've ever read a verse in the Bible and all of a sudden it hits you and all of a sudden you thought, I can do this. You have just had your faith activated by the word of God. If you've ever been in a service where Pastor Tom or I or some other pastor was teaching, or you've been in a Bible study and you heard the word of God and all of a sudden you thought, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You just had your faith activated by the word of God. See, this is the difference between the Bible and self-help books. Self-help books often tell you some good stuff. They can tell you the right thing to do. They just don't give you the power to do it. I mean, you read a self-help book that says, now, if you really want to succeed in life, you need to stop worrying. Oh, that's helpful. Okay. Give up all your bad habits. Oh, that's good too. And it'll tell you all the right things to do, and they're right about a number of those things. Stop thinking so negatively. But you don't know how to stop it. You don't have the power because those books aren't living. They're not alive. But the power of God's word is it not only tells you what to do, it gives you the power to do it. And it increases your faith. When I read these thousands of promises in the Bible where God says, if you do this and this, this, I will do this, this, and this, that increases my expectation. It gives me confidence. You know, some of you know this story, that at the end of the first year of Saddleback Church, when Kay and I started the church in 1980, at the end of the first year, I was standing up speaking, and I fainted. I just passed out. And I went into a period of depression. It was literally my burnout. I had my midlife crisis at age 25. You know, I wanted to get it over early. So when I hit my 40s, I just went right through it. But I was working so hard and working 18 hours a day and loving every minute of it, not taking time off. And I just burned out physically, emotionally, spiritually. And during 1981, for that entire year, it's like I was walking around with a cloud over my head. And I really didn't know how to get out of it. And I was doing everything I could, but I was just going to keep moving forward. You know, as I've said many times, what do you do when you're going through hell? You keep going. You don't want to stay there. You certainly don't want to make camp. You don't park in hell. When you're going through hell, you just keep going. And so my prayer was not, oh God, do something really great in my life. My prayer was, God, get me through the weekend. And I just kept doing that. But during that time, I was learning things that was preparing me in that year of darkness, was preparing me to handle enormous levels of stress that would break most people. And to be able to manage all kinds of balls at the same time. I learned some skills and some character development there I would have never learned if I hadn't gone through a year of depression. Because during that year of depression, I was forced to read this book. And I was reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it because I needed my faith activated. And as I would read it and read it and read it, I found myself gaining more and more courage, gaining more and more strength, gaining more and more confidence. So I thought, I can do this. My confidence isn't in me, my confidence is in Christ, but I can do this because God has promised this, 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 and this. And I'll never forget one of the verses that really activated my faith was in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verses 29 and 30. God is talking to a guy named Joshua, who was Moses' successor. When Moses died, Joshua was given the task of leading the entire nation of Israel into battle to fight for the promised land. They were going to go across the Jordan River into Jordan, into Israel, and they were going to have to take on some tribes that were already living there. And Joshua thought, I can't do this. Me? I have no ability to do this. This is too big a task. The dream is too big. The goal is too big. The vision is too big. I can't do this. I'm inadequate, God. And he was giving God all these excuses. And in Exodus 23, verses 29 and 30, God says to Joshua, Joshua, you know these enemies, they're bigger than you, but I'm not going to give you the whole land in the first year. You're going to take it over a little bit at a time, little by little. I call it pacing growth. So that as you take it over one battle at a time, you're growing stronger. And then when you're strong enough to handle it all, you'll get it all. You'll get all the blessings I intended for you, but you're not going to get them all at once. And it's going to happen over your lifetime. And then when I read that, it was like a promise coming directly to me. I thought, okay, I don't have to accomplish this all in the first year. I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving Jesus Christ, and I'll do it on his timetable, at his pace, and he can do whatever he wants to with my life. That gave me confidence to take on enormous goals. What happened? The word activated my faith. Number four. The fourth thing that the Bible can do in your life is it stimulates my growth. It stimulates my spiritual growth. It recreates my life. It lets me start over. It gives me a fresh start, born again. It eradicates my guilt. Wipes the slate clean. It activates my faith. And then as I start growing, it stimulates my growth. I love this verse in Acts chapter 20 where Paul says to the people in the city of Ephesus, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. He says, I've got to leave. He was getting ready to leave. He was never going to see these people again. And as he's leaving the Ephesians, he says to them, I'm going to commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. Circle that. That's stimulating my growth. The word can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What does that mean? Give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Well, you know what an inheritance is. An inheritance is what you get for being part of a family that's rightfully yours. Now, let's just say your father was Warren Buffett, okay? And let's say Warren Buffett was your father and he writes a will. What if you went through your, and he dies, and what if you never, ever took the time to read the will? That would be called dumb because you would not be getting in on all that was rightfully yours. You would not be benefiting from that which belonged to you as a child of Warren Buffett. You would not be able to enjoy the blessings of the Buffett family because you don't even know about it. When you become a follower of Jesus, when you put your life in Christ's hand, when you trust him for salvation, you're not just a believer, you're a belonger. You become a part of God's family. And now you get family privileges. There are family responsibilities and there are family privileges. And you, the Bible says, have an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance that you're going to gain from God, not just here on earth, but eternally in heaven. And by the way, God's richer than Warren Buffett in every area. Now, What if you go through your entire life not knowing the power, the opportunities, the blessings, the benefits that are available to you as a child of God, and you never even took the time to know what they were? That would be dumb. Because God says, I want to stimulate your growth and give you the inheritance that you have as my child, that which rightly belongs to you. Let me show you another verse. 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, and 17. We looked at this verse last week. All scripture is God-breathed, theopneustos, God-breathed, and is useful. Now notice it says four things. Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, here's the purpose of the Bible. So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The purpose of the Bible is to help you to live out the purpose God has for your life. The purpose of the Bible is to help you live out the purpose God has for your life. That you will be thoroughly equipped, that you'll have all you need, you'll be fully prepared, you're ready to face life, and you're not insufficient for life. You've got everything you need to take on life. And he says, the way God gets you ready for life, the way God gets you ready for his purpose is through the Bible. And the Bible does four things. He said, it's for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training. Now, let me explain that in a little different way. Teaching is God shows me the path to walk on. That's teaching. Rebuking is when God shows me how I got off the path and I'm now in the ditch. That's called rebuking. Correcting is how I get back on the path, the right path for life, for my life. And training is how I stay on the path and don't fall off in the ditch again. That's what those four things are. Let me say it again. The Word of God is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Teaching is it shows me the path to walk on. Here's the way to make it in life. Rebuking shows me where I fell off the path and fell in the ditch. Correcting shows me how to get back on the right path. Correcting. And training in righteousness shows me how to stay on the path. That's the way the Word of God helps me grow. Now, the fifth way that God uses his Word to change me, in all of these ways, he recreates my life, eradicates my guilt, activates my faith, and stimulates my growth. The fifth way is he uses the Bible to illuminate my mind. God wants to illuminate my mind. Pastor Tom is going to come and talk about illuminating our minds with the Word of God.
So how does it work? How does God turn the light on? Look at this next verse in your outline. Psalm 119, 130 says, understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. So God wants to use his word to bring light to every one of our minds. It's not, enlightenment isn't just for one age of people or one class of people. God wants to bring light to every single person. He wants to light up our minds with the truth of who he is, with the truth of the next step, next direction to take in our lives, with the truth of how to handle the feelings I'm having, with the truth of how to handle the relationship difficulties or the relationship successes that I'm having. He wants to bring light to our lives. Now, how does he do that? How does he turn the light on in our lives? So some of you may have opened up the Bible and thought, I didn't get any light out of that. It didn't happen. Sometimes it happens immediately, but more often the light dawns on you. It comes slowly. And the way that it does that, look at this next verse up on the screen. Psalm 119:99 says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Focus on that word meditate. Well, first Psalm 119, you notice a lot of the verses are from Psalm 119. It's not only the longest chapter in the Bible, it's also a chapter that's all about the Bible. So that's why we look at it a lot. And that reminds us that meditation is the key to turning the light on many times. When you soak your mind in the Word, we learned about this last week, Rick talked about it. All these meditation methods that we're going through, meditation isn't losing your mind to the universe, it's focusing your mind on the Word of God. All of these are so that God can turn the light on in our lives. It's what he wants to do in my life. It's what he wants to do in our lives. And when you soak your mind in the Word, he turns the light on. He helps you to see things with a different perspective in a different way. And once that happens, then he gives you the opportunity to do something else. Psalm 119:105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He turns the light on so that we can have direction in our lives. A lamp for our feet, a light for a path. When this was first written, the lamp was like a candle in a lamp that they'd carry. Now we would like have a flashlight, or some of you have like the flashlight on your phone. So you could read it today, your word is an app for my feet, which is really what this is about. Now what's he talking about here, and how does this work? This is one of the most important lessons of God's word that I've had to learn in my life. How does my faith in God's word work in practical everyday ways? It's like a flashlight that I'm holding, or an app, flashlight app that I'm holding. It gives just enough light for the next few steps. If I'm holding a flashlight, here's the hard lesson I've had to learn. If I'm holding a flashlight and I want more light down the path, how do I get more light down the path? I got to take the next step. The only way to get more light is for me to take the next step. There's been so many times in my life when I've been stuck waiting for more light from God. What I want is, God, could you just light up the whole path, like my whole life? Like the next 20 miles would be nice so I could see where everything's going. But God says, no, I'm just giving you enough for the next step. You take that step, and then you're going to get light for the next step. You take that step, you'll get light for the next step. And there have been times when I've just said, you know what? I'm waiting out, God. Unless you give me the 20 miles, I'm not moving. Well, guess what? God's got a lot more time than I do, a lot more time than you do. You can wait there a long time. God's given you just enough light for the next step. So what's the next step in your life? Now, to turn the light on in your life, one of the great things you can do is pray prayers related to God's word, related to the Bible. In fact, one of them is our memory verse for this next week. Psalm 119, verse 18, our memory verse says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. We've seen a lot, there's a lot of words in the Bible for the Bible. We just looked at law, statutes, word, promise. They're synonymous. They all mean the same thing. This is talking about the whole of God's word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Let's do this together. For a lot of people, the way that it helps them to memorize a verse is to go through it phrase by phrase. So you say the verse reference before and after, go through it phrase by phrase, and helps you remember it. So let's do that together. Psalm 119, 18. And then let's say it together. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Psalm 119, 18. Now let's take it away and see how you do. Let's just see, okay? Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. You got it. Give yourselves a hand.
The sixth way that God changes my life with his word, this is a big one. It elevates my moods. It elevates my mood. And some of you really need a mood elevator right now, because you're down in the dumps and you're feeling a little grumpy and you're feeling like nobody cares and you're having a pity party of one and inviting yourself. Whenever you get discouraged, you don't need a coffee break, you need a word break. God gave us the Bible to encourage us. It is a mood elevator. You say, how do you know that? Look at this next verse, Romans 15, verse 4. Everything that was written in the past, he's talking about the Bible, was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, I want you to circle four words in this verse. First, everything. Second, encouragement. Third, scriptures. And fourth, hope. Everything in the scriptures is for our encouragement and hope. Everything? Yes, everything that was written in scriptures is meant to encourage you. It's meant for your encouragement. It is meant to be a mood elevator. Even the tough parts are there to ultimately encourage your life in the right direction. The next time you get discouraged, the next time you feel fatigued, you're run out of energy, you're just out of, you know, pizzazz, why don't you come home and instead of turning on the television, try reading the Bible and see if that doesn't have a little bit more. Why? Because this has the power to change your life. It has the power in it, the God's power, to make changes. Television can tell you what to do. It doesn't have the power to give you to do it. Now, this will elevate your mood. And that's why every day you need to spend a little bit of time alone with God. We call it a quiet time. I don't care what you call it. Daily devotional, personal inspiration time, doesn't matter. It's a little time where you get quiet and you spend time with God and you think about His Word, you read His Word, and you talk to Him and you just listen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful you've chosen to spend some time with us. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says, no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why Rick created a tool called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. This kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find a personal 40 Days in the Word journal and Bible verse memorization cards with 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How You Can Know the Bible Came from God and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Rick to tell you how God is using this broadcast to change lives.
Today, I want to share a note that we received from Amy. God is using Daily Hope to help her understand how to apply the Bible to her own life so she can pass on those skills to her daughter. Amy wrote this to me. Thanks, Pastor Rick, for being you. I love your sermons. You speak in a way that I can understand, and I'm grateful that I've found you. I recently purchased 40 Days in the Word, and my husband and I are going to do it together. I'm so excited to get to know the Word of God and apply it to my life. When my mother died 10 years ago, I was 29 years old, and I've been lost at sea ever since. I didn't know what to do in my life, and I had nobody to guide me. I finally realized that the Bible tells us how to live our lives, and I want to get to know it inside and out so I can pass that on to my daughter. Much love from Texas. Well, thanks so much for writing, Amy. I'm really glad that you discovered all the giant rewards of learning and applying the Word of God to your life. And I'm excited that you're passing on what you're learning to your daughter. This is an important thing. We actually grow more by passing it on to others. And I'm sure her life will be blessed through your faithfulness. So let me ask all of you who are listening right now, who can you share God's Word with? Would you pray about it? And when you share Daily Hope with them, would you let me know what happens? I'd love to hear that story. Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.